This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome to Long Shots. Kelly Bidlin here alongside Wes Reynolds. Matt Brown, currently on the air. It's a busy season at VSiN. Lots of vacations, lots of filling in going on. Wes, I think you and I have just been on our normal shows, but maybe I should just keep quiet about that before we get added anywhere else.
That could change at any moment, yes.
I know there are several great people at the network filling in spots, doing extra work this week. This is always vacation time of year, though, for us. All of us who basically work at sports, as we get into the long baseball summer before football starts, everything else is wound down. So if you're ever wondering, you're listening to VSiN or any other sports networks, why you're not seeing your normal people, that's why. This is when everybody takes vacation for the most part. But we're still here. We're still talking golf every week. I was out last week on vacation. Didn't bet the Rocket Mortgage Classic at all, Wes. I'm going to go VSiN betting pro tip here real quick. If you bet like every single day, like Wes Reynolds and I do, when you take vacation, shut it down. Don't look at odds. Don't look at a point spread. Don't look at anything, because this stuff drives you nuts if you look at it 365 like we do. And especially if you're losing money like I have been for most of the golf season.
I wish I would have taken vacation for Detroit. Not my best event, certainly. A very exciting finish, though, if you did bet it. Akshay Bhatia, maybe not for him.
That was awful.
I felt bad for him because the guy had 0-3 putts and just one bogey through 71 holes. And then final hole came, he misses a four-footer for par. Cam Davis, now second-time winner of the Rocket Mortgage Classic at 18-under. Higher score than normal because the wind did start blowing on Sunday and it blew directly at the players. So we didn't get that 22, 23, 24 under par like we thought we were going to do. But a lot of guys had chances there. It was very bunch leaderboard. Davis Thompson, Minwoo Lee, Aaron Rye, Cameron Young, who had a big meltdown on the back nine, especially with the putter. And then, of course, bent his driver shaft in anger off the tee and couldn't use his driver for the rest of the round. So yet another short loss there for Cameron Young, where he's in the mix and just can't close the deal. But Cam Davis at 66-1 did so.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what, for as many times as I bet Cam Davis, I think I can confidently say, even sitting here today, that there's probably no shot I would have had any money on him outright-wise. So congratulations to Cam Davis. I have burned a lot of money on you before, so if you could keep the winning up, that'd be nice. The one that scares me a little bit, and this is really the one I kind of chuckle at, Wes, is knowing how I've been betting him, especially recently in this year, Aaron Rye probably would have been on my card. So kind of glad I stayed away from stuff this week to avoid the frustration, because, man, that first page of the leaderboard was sure full of a lot of the lovable losers that Kelly likes to burn money away on week after week on the PGA Tour. Bhatia, that was rough. But, man, that was – it felt like not a single guy on there wanted to win this event. It was just like, who could choke the least down the stretch? And I guess that ended up being Cameron Davis. And you know what? That felt a little karma, because he had that crazy shot, right, that went in the water. What was it, on 17, right? That went off the green and into the water. Or not 17. That was earlier. But he was the one that felt like a little bit, at least got kind of a bad break, at least on that one shot, where a lot of these other guys were just, God, missing putts, missing fairways. It felt like everybody was crumbling down the stretch. And Cameron Young, it's been a story how many times have we been saying over the past couple of years, this is one of the best guys on tour without a win, yada, yada, yada. And it's all the second place finishes. And man, you get to this point. Like you said, the frustration was as evident as it's ever been on his face.
It's
got to
be. Yeah, it's mental right now. It's totally mental with this guy.
It is mental. You know, Gil was asking about on Monday. We were kind of talking about that. Like, how do you approach betting someone like that now? And I'm like, look, I think it's on a case-to-case basis. Like, we talked a lot about this with Xander early in the year. I'm like, I don't know, Xander Schauffele, I'm just never concerned about going back to the well with. It's just, you know, I think over the years you learn to adjust your betting style and the bets you were making on Xander, and hopefully weren't betting as many outrights. But I mean, Wes, I think I can count you in this camp of, like, I think we all knew the Xander wins would come at some point, especially with how well mentally he seemed to handle all that stuff and would have these second place finishes or close to the top and be right back at it again that next week. So I think it was no surprise, you know, what event before the PGA when he finished runner up to Rory, and that, you know, and then he came out and won the PGA, right?
Right.
So I think with him, it's not as much of a surprise to me. Cameron Young right now, yeah, man, what you said, like, it's in his head. Like, I don't know that I have any interest in betting that guy anytime soon. Like, we just haven't really seen, you know, the responses out at someone like him yet. So I don't know how you feel about that, but he is a guy that I will probably be hit. I haven't really bet him much this year anyways. I know you did a little bit at the beginning of the season, but I feel like you've been, you know, have kind of been off him recently. But I don't know. How do you approach that going forward? Because he's probably a guy I will be staying away from a little bit.
Yeah. I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. I got to take it, I think, a week by week basis with this guy. And, you know, eventually, but the one thing you can't do is you can't keep chasing him necessarily every single week and, you know, hope you get paid off. So, you know, sometimes you just got to step away. That doesn't mean you totally avoid him. Because I think we sometimes go to extremes, right? We're like, okay, we're going to keep betting him until he finally gets there. Or it's like, no, I'm just never going to bet this guy. You know, again, you really got to play it on a week to week basis and, you know, see if something pops, compare him to the rest of the field. What's the strength of the field? What has he done here in the past? So, yeah, you can't really play, I think, you know, totally one side or the other with it.
I also think it's, you know, just going back to the Xander example, it is like, okay, just don't bet outright until the guy gets home. If that means that he wins an event and you're sitting on a top 10 ticket on him and that's it, yeah, it sucks a little bit, but guess what? You still want to bet. And
Four or five top tens basically equal what his win price is.
Sure, there you go. So yeah, I think that's the way I would that if you are more confident than I am in his game right now and in it returning, like he has been great over the past couple of years. I'm just saying for the next couple of weeks, I'll have to take a break from him. But that's the way I would bet it if I was really really trying to bet him. All right, we turn the page. We've got the great John Deere Classic this week. What is this going to be, our third straight birdie fest, Wes? Hey,
it is.
I'm coming off a win. I wasn't on the show last week, so I had Scotty Scheffler the week before. I don't think that's that was very nice to my my fellow co-hosts, who you and Matt both on Tom Kim, right?
Both on Tom Kim, yes.
Yeah, so it was probably good I was off the show last week, so we didn't have any fighting words going back and forth there. But solid event there. We've turned the page. John Deere Classic, third straight birdie fest. Yes, get ready for a lot of birdies. Seb Straka won this at 21 under last year. Top of the odds board, Sung Jam over at DraftKings. Sung Jam 14-1. Seb Straka 16-1. Aaron Rye 20-1. Jordan Spieth has dropped a bit here. 22-1 is where he sits now. Denny McCarthy 22-1. Davis Thompson 22-1. Maverick McNeely 28-1. Keith Mitchell 28-1. Jason Day and JT Poston both at 30-1. Everybody else 35-1 or longer. Wes, I got a couple notes to get to myself, but get us into the course preview. And by the way, you can get all of Wes's course previews and everything else he writes up for the PGA Tour and more up at VSiN.com.
Yeah, we thought we were going to have Patrick Cantlay in this field, but he withdrew, apparently an injury in training. So taking this week off, we'll see if he's in the Scottish Open field next week. And then, of course, we get Royal Troon for the Open Championship after that. So Sepp Straka, as you mentioned, he is the highest ranked player in this field at number 24 in the world. Just 7 of the top 50 in the Quad Cities this week. So like I mentioned, Quad Cities, this used to be called the Quad Cities Open. It's now the John Deere Classic. TPC Deer Run, which opened in 2000, it was donated by descendants of John Deere's family to build this course. So it's in Silvis, Illinois. The Quad Cities I mentioned, Davenport and Bettendorf, Iowa, Rock Island and Moline, Illinois, designed by D.A. Wybring, 5-time PGA Tour winner. He won the John Deere 3 times over the years. Par 71, 72, 89, does have some elevation changes, 76 bunkers, 3 water danger holes. There are some tight dog legs and some sloping fairways. But, you know, so players are going to have to use every club in the bag. You're going to have to use driver. You're going to have to use three off the tee. You're going to use long irons. You're going to have a lot of wedges in the greens. We'll get to that more during the modeling, but it's a pretty easy course. The fairways are relatively wide, about 36 and a half yards on average. Bent grass, bluegrass, and fescue rough, 4 inches thick. So, you know, still don't want to get in that stuff, but you can bomb and gouge out of it. The greens, 5,500 square feet average. Bent grass, 12 on the stimp, so pretty darn average. Like I said, par 71 of 7289. So, you know, in that write-up that'll be on VSiN.com, the TPC Players Club, or the Tournament Players Club Network, TPC, that runs these chain of golf courses, which owns Deer Run and many others that the PGA Tour operates, they have a little flyover. I found a little YouTube, so put that up there to kind of look hole by hole. But yeah, pretty gettable course here. If you look at the average score, 10 of the last 13 events, it's been 20 under par or lower. So it is going to be a birdie fest. You know, just looking, if you want to look at some trends, 5 of the last 10 times here, first time winners on the PGA Tour, 13 of the last 14 have at least played here once before. 12 of the last 14 winners had at least a top five at some point earlier in the season. So 8 of the top 14 also were in the top 20 or better in a previous John Deere. So, you know, you've seen some names win here. This used to be the Steve Stricker Invitational, and if it wasn't him, it was Zach Johnson.
Late
2000s and the early 2010s. And then Jordan Spieth won his first PGA Tour event here in 2013, then won 2 years later. Yeah, he was 40-1 in 2013, and then how hot he was in the mid-2010s. He was 4-1 when he won here. That's a Scottie Scheffler price. But look, we've seen Brian Harman has won here, Bryson DeChambeau, one here. So you've seen a lot of mid-range. Michael Kim was 300-1 when he won here in 2018. Dylan Fratelli 90-1 the year after that. But, you know, you get a lot of mid-range prices, and this is a birdie fest. I don't think it favors really any one type of player. And, you know, you get ball strikers like Kim, and then you get bombers like DeChambeau. So you can have a wide variety of winners here.
Yeah, not exactly my favorite tournament of the year, but man, all you ever hear is good things from the players on this one. So
I love that it's in a small market and like the people really support it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, because people are like, oh, the John Deere Classic. I was like, yeah, it's one of the more popular events because the people support it. And like when you're in a small market, like in the Quad Cities, you got to win them with hospitality, and they absolutely do. And John Deere has been a sponsor of this event for many, many years. This actually has been part of the PGA Tour since like 1972. So, you know, there's a reason they keep coming back here, because the people keep supporting it.
Yeah. And I will say it is nice to have, you know, what they did, pretty big renovations in 2020, but still, it feels like the more and more we talk on this show about tournaments each week, it's like, man, how many times does it feel like, well, we're kind of at a new course, or we don't have much history to go off of, or something like, yeah, at least we got some course history to go off of. Just to back up a couple points Wes pointed out. I mean, look, you've got wide fairways here, eighth widest on tour, and some receptive greens too. I mean, pretty big greens, but that is where you're going to see, you know, the quote unquote course defenses, right? It is that rough off the fairway, and that can be pretty painful. I mean, 4 inches plus is what you're talking about there. It is a pretty significant difference we've seen in the past, from hitting approach shots and what the green and regulation rate is from hitting out of that rough and out of the fairway. So you definitely are going to want to look for someone who's going to be able to find the fairway here. That's going to be important. And look, around the green play, it's not easy. I think this is just one I try to bring this up whenever we talk about these type of tournaments, but okay, around the green play, it might not be the easiest year, and you're going to see some tricky shots and some guys playing from some of these and some tough chips from around the green. You're going to see a lot of that. Just keep in mind, if you're really betting from someone to win, they can't be playing that many of those shots, or else they're going to have a lot of trouble going 20 under par to go win this thing. So all of that to keep in mind. Yeah, it's what, over 40%, I believe, of the approach shots I saw from last year coming inside 150 yards. So a lot of wedges, as you hinted at, Wes. We'll get to that here in a minute, exactly what we looked at stat-wise. But yeah, I think those are some of the big things to take away. As far as what I ended up plugging in the model for me, Strokes gained off the tee, did look at that. And then, you know, good drives gained, fairways, driving accuracy, any of that stuff. I think if you want to look at this week, a lot of tournaments that we're looking at recently where it feels like the accuracy mattering a little bit more than distance off the tee. And I think this is another week where that is the case. Approach, huge. And then look at those wedge distances. I plugged in a little bit, everything 75 yards to 150. I don't know what you did with that, Wes, but that is a little bit more of a unique factor we get this week. I think where those wedges become a little bit more important than what we normally see on a regular PGA Tour event. So did those proximity ranges, opportunities gained, birdie or better, you know, any of the scoring stats I think you want to look at. And then putting, you know, this is one of those weeks I think you got to plug it in. I didn't do pure bent. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to hear what you did. I just did strokes gained putting overall and then looked for more of any of those putting like 5 to 15 feet range. Just because you're going to see a guy, you're going to need some guys that are going to need to drain some long birdie putts and stuff like that to be up there on the leaderboard. And then, yes, I did do a little round the green, a little scrambling. Look, to save a big par here and there, that stuff's going to come into play. Just not something I think you need to factor in huge this week. That's everything I did. What all did you plug in this week?
Yeah, I started with a little bit of birdie or better, and you can, if you want to maybe specify on par fours or par fives, you could certainly do that. But I think birdie or better percentage gives you a pretty good context here. So no reason to think that this low scoring is going to be any different. I did some approach here because, look, these greens are probably going to be soft because I don't know wherever you are. I know, especially out here, based on the weather forecast this week in Las Vegas, it's hot. It is hot around the summer, and it will get hot there at the John Deere Classic. So they water the greens a lot because these things will dry out, you know. So it's not going to be, I think, firm and fast. So you're going to see some softer greens. So you better target those greens. So approach. In terms of the proximity, I found average proximity inside 100 yards because, you know, a little bit less than half, you know, 45% maybe are going to be 150 or less. So short wedges inside 100, 100 to 125, 125 to 150. I did some strokes gained around the green because these are elevated greens. They're even though they're not very big, they're relatively easy to hit. It's got a pretty high green and regulation rate, but they're elevated, and you do have those slopes that run off kind of into the short grass collections, plus the bunkers are pretty deep. So there will be some scramble shots here. So strokes gained around the green. I did putting on bent. I think you could do general putting, too, without the particular agronomy of the greens and be fine. But, you know, I just happen to look at bent grass a little more. In terms of off the tee, I only did good drives gained or good drive percentage, whatever you want to do, because you are going to miss, even though these fairways are somewhat wide. You'll probably be in the thick stuff maybe once or twice, at least throughout the week. So you want those guys that still hit the green, because the good drives percentage means fairways hit plus the number of greens or fringe in regulation when the drive was not in the fairway on the tee shot. So it measures a little bit of both there. And then just a general one, I did strokes gain total average per round, easy scoring conditions.
Oh, you know, I did these, that too. Yeah, I'm glad
these birdie,
that
these type of birdie fests that, you know, you see these guys go low. And I think if you're looking, I guess, at, you know, similar courses, because you do see some of these guys that tend to do very well where you got to shoot 20 under par that maybe don't win necessarily on grinders. So, yeah, I think Detroit, certainly the course last week is useful. Keene Trace, that is where they play the Barbasol, TPC Craig Ranch, and then now where they play the Byron Nelson, obviously in Dallas, that's low scoring. Want to look at maybe TPC Twin Cities. That is where they play the 3M Open, which will be later this summer. TPC Summerlin, TPC River Highlands. A lot of the different TPC courses, I think, really fit here.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Quick weatherman Kelly check-in. There is nasty weather the next couple days up there. So if you're going to make first-round leader or first-round matchup bets or anything like that, we are sitting here recording this Tuesday afternoon in Las Vegas, but this is something I would be checking in on. As of right now, I'm seeing Thursday, it looks like we've got anywhere between 30 to 55% chance of rain throughout the course of the day, and wind starting off as of right now, starting off pretty light in the morning, but then getting pretty gusty in the afternoon. I'm seeing gusts over 20 miles an hour later in the afternoon. So that looks like an advantage to me right now. It is weather, though. It will blow through.
Yeah.
Things will probably change between now and then. We don't really have this conversation much, so maybe we should have it now, Wes. I don't know about you. I think this is because of us having to do content, a lot of the things we have to make, some of our bets we have to make earlier, maybe I would do this differently if we didn't have to do all the content that we did. But I don't really work my outrights or, you know, guys that I'm betting pre-tournament too much around the weather. Although you do, I think I bring it up enough that people realize this by now. If I'm looking at first round leader stuff, that's not anything I'm betting till like Wednesday night when I've really got a good feel for what the weather is going to be like. How do you approach that though? Do you do that at all? Are you looking at weather on Monday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, that far out, and kind of crafting your card around that?
Yeah, look, I do it a little bit with different events. I think maybe for something like the Open in a couple weeks or like the Scottish, that might be something that you do because there tends to be kind of a draw bias sometimes with the weather. Yep. So it's a little bit tougher to do, I think, on the PGA Tour. So I look at it, but in terms of like drafting your cards around it, that's really hard to do because you want to wait until like the last minute. Yeah. I think to do that, you know, if you're doing that, then you're doing that like on Wednesday.
Right. Yeah. And I don't have, if anybody wants to take that approach, I have no problem with you taking that approach. I think because we have to do all this content, it's just not something I do. If we weren't doing long shots and talking about golf on shows and stuff like that, Wes,
right.
I'm sure more of the bets I would make, probably much like the other sports that we bet, would probably be on openers or close to closing. But we don't really have that luxury. But if you're out there and you love to wait till Wednesday to make sure you really got a good feel for the weather, especially, look, there are some events where you don't have to worry about it at all. Look, if we're going down to Phoenix, right, the Waste Management Phoenix, so likely not going to be too much of an issue. But there are some of these weeks where if you spot it early out that, hey, maybe there's some weather, maybe you want to wait till Wednesday to kind of finalize your card. I don't think that is not a dumb idea at all. It's just not something that Wes and I have the luxury of doing much. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back and go over all of our bets here for the John Deere Classic. Welcome back to Long Shots. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds. No Matt Brown today. He's busy. He's got a lot of shows to do, okay? We're coming at you, though, with our John Deere Classic bets. Wes Reynolds, I'm going to tee it up for you first, my friend. What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I had a couple guys that I couldn't decide on. So,
me too.
I just basically played them both here in this kind of shorter range. I played Denny McCarthy at 22-1. It's obviously a low price for a guy that's never won, but he's been six here each of the last 2 years. Lost a playoff last year to Victor Hovland at the Memorial. Lost earlier in April to Akshay Bhatia there at the Valero. If you think this is going to be a putting contest, which it often is, then, you know, Denny McCarthy is one of the best.
Yeah.
Yes, he is, especially on the bent grass, number one out there. He gained a little less than 3 strokes on approach last time out at the Travelers. If he can kind of put that together, because this is a guy that just, you know, never quite puts every single thing together. There's always something like missing that keeps him from winning. So if he hits those approaches as well as he did in Hartford a couple weeks ago, then I think he's going to contend here because he's experienced here, going to make a ton of putts. So Denny McCarthy, 22-1. Davis Thompson, 25-1. Two runner-ups in his last 6 starts at Myrtle Beach, and then it was part of that crew, 4 players that was tied T2 last week in Detroit. In between those starts, though, he got top 10 at the U.S. Open, his best ever finish in a major. I think that was his first ever made cut in a major. 17th at Colonial, top 30 at Memorial. Former number one world amateur. He's starting to be on these leaderboards a little bit more consistently. And, you know, looks like a good spot to earn his first PGA Tour victory. And he was a guy that I think when we went over the stats in the last segment, birdie or better, that was one of them. Approach.
First and last.
One of the proximity. Yes, absolutely. He was popping up a lot of them. So Davis Thompson, 25-1. There we go.
No shocker, but I'm on him too. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
There we go.
I actually really like Davis Thompson this week.
Yeah, former world number one amateur. He's got a lot of pedigree, just hasn't won out there yet, but still, I think this is a good spot for him.
I'm with you. I think he's finding his groove right now, and this is a very field that he can go out there and win in.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be up there on Sunday. I'm going to run it back with Maverick McNealy reluctantly at 28-1. He was on my card last week. Disappointed he was T44, even though he putted pretty solidly, but maybe shaking off some rust. He had 3 weeks off. Fourth in birdie or better, fifth for around the green, fifth for strokes gained putting on Ben. He was eighth here 2 years ago. Nick Dunlap, 40-1, who already is a winner on the PGA Tour, as everybody knows, at 20 years old, won the American Express earlier this year when he was still an amateur and was still a collegiate player at University of Alabama. Since then, he's turned pro. And, you know, growing pains, but he's made 10 of 15 cuts, three top 12s at Houston, at the Memorial, T10 last week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, led the field in GIR. Also,
pulled in some money. Okay, good for him.
Yeah, also ranked second for strokes gained ball striking. So Nick Dunlap, I got him at 40. I think he's in the mid-30s now. Seamus Power, 50-1, who started off this year, had a hip injury. And then started to make some better showings, was 12th at the RBC Heritage, 16th at the Wells Fargo, 20th at the Travelers. Obviously, those are all signature events. This one, of course, is not. 13th last year here, 8th here in 2021. He's won these birdie fests where you got to shoot 20 under better before Barbasol at Keene Trace, which I mentioned, I think, is a correlated course here that down in Kentucky, and the Bermuda Championship. So he's won these birdie fests. So Seamus Power, 50-1, and then two at 100-1 here. Patton Kizzire, 100-1.
Let's go, baby.
Four top 25s in his last five starts. Oh, man, two for two of them now.
I was surprised. I feel like I didn't really see too many other people that I listened to or we follow talking golf with him on the card this week, and he rated out so high for me. I was in shock. So I'm right there with you, Wes. I'm joining. Go ahead, though. Finish your explanation.
Four top 25s in his last five starts overall, second in greens and regulation, third for approach, fifth for birdie or better, 10th for good drive percentage. So this is a guy, by the way, he finished outside the FedEx Cup 125, so he only has conditional status, and now I believe he's like 126 in the FedEx Cup. So look, go well here, dude, and make sure you're close to like the top 100 where it's like, okay, I know I'm going to be back on tour. So Patton Kizzire, 100-1, and then another one at 100-1 that I did play last week. You kind of disappointed, but I think this might be a better fit for him this course, and that's Chandler Phillips, who was 12th at Colonial, 10th at the RBC up in Canada. Both bent grass, by the way, where he putts the best, I think. Made the cut last weekend in Detroit, just never got it going. He was near the bottom of the leaderboard at the end of Sunday. But he is number one in this field for proximity, 125 to 150. So very good with wedges, very good approach player too. Gains on approach almost every start. I think he was like top 13 in this field. So felt Chandler Phillips at least was worth a shot. A couple of the guys that I considered that I left off, I did leave off Joel Damon.
Yeah, me too. And he rated out really high for me.
He could be a potential add. I left off Bo Hosler was another one, and then Vincent Whaley. Glover rated out too, but Glover's won here before. He always plays well. I feel like maybe the price was just a bit low, but those were a couple guys that I did see. Patrick Fishburne, another one, kind of a long shot that did pop in a few different categories. But trying to keep it relatively limited in that 5 to 7 guy a week range, and that's where we are.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That was look, with these birdie fests, I think you need to rein it in a little bit. They definitely, I think the way that I've been betting golf here over the past, year and a half now, where I've kind of limited outrights anyways, this is where Wes, though, is, you get these birdie fests. This is where you'll see me play more outrights, but then really dial it back with how much money I'm putting into matchups, finishing positions, that kind of stuff. Just because, if you had bets last Sunday, I think that's probably the perfect example. You can see how wildly guys can go move up and down leaderboards, leaderboard just in those last few holes. So that's usually how I approach these. So five outrights for me actually this week, which is, a fair amount, but I started right at the top of the board. I went with Sung Jae-im. I did go with him. I think this was, it was tough for me to where to start the card because look, I could make great cases for Sepp Straka and Aaron Rye, who I think everybody on this podcast has bet a fair amount over the past few months. It's probably made some money off of them in finishing position markets and stuff like that. And obviously Sepp Straka winning here last year. I think that's a big deal. The form he's in right now arguably is the best he's been in his entire career. I don't hate that bet, Wes, but when I see him basically at the same odds as someone of the caliber of Sung J.M., who, yes, yeah, I know has not been as great this year, I'm sorry. I'm still got to go with Sung J.M., though. He's the best player right in the field to me. And when you get all those guys bunched that closely, it just seems a little silly for me to be considering Strock or Aaron Rye, even though those guys do rate out very highly for me. I did go with Sung J.M. You know, if you take away the majors, I feel like we do this a lot with a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. Where I think he's missed cut in every single major this year. But T3 at the Travelers, T8 at Memorial, T9 at Charles Schwab, T4 at Wells Fargo, T12 at RBC Heritage. So he's had some great finishes mixed in there. Just it looks bad when you see an MC next to the major. Right. The major. Did win.
Oh, yeah.
Did win in Korea earlier this year, right? So that does help out a little bit with Sungjae. And the stats are looking better here recently. They are starting to look better. Just as I run my numbers, last 12 rounds, last 24, last 36, he's going up and up and up the board in the more recent terms. So did go with Sungjae. I just played an outright on him. I'm just trying to get – I just think the pricing at the top of the board might be a little off with the quality of golfers that we have there. So I think I'm getting a little bit of a good buy price on Sungjae, even at 15-1, I think is good. So I started there. Like I said, I'm in with you on Davis Thompson. I really like him this week. Played an outright and played a top 20 on him. Last 12 rounds, first birdie or better. He's top 20 off the tee, 15th on approach. Good with the wedge ranges that we've talked about that we're looking at. You ran through all the recent finishes. He's been in great form recently, playing some of the best golf of his career. So heading into this event with this weaker field, I think this could be a great spot for him. Outright in top 20 on him for me. And then next guy took an outright kind of flyer on. Nobody's going to be surprised that I ended up betting this guy, but I'm kind of sticking to the model, Wes, where this guy ended up rating out for me. And then where his odds are at in this field just felt a little off to me. Keith Mitchell, 35-1. I'm going back to, yes, this is not a great putter. He's a guy that's going to have to catch a hot putter this week to really contend. But with how weak this field is, for the most part, how consistently well he's played this entire season. He's a guy, you know, everything ball striking wise, I'm willing to go back to the well with him. 34-1, I found there are 30s out there. 34 was at Circa. I know there's a lot of times we're going to mention these Circa prices that people rest of the country aren't going to be able to get, but I know there's 30s out there on him. I think that's a good price in this field. So another guy I just went with an outright on. I'm not overly confident in him this week. Not going to go big on top 20s or matchups or anything like that. Next guy then down on the odds board, say another situation, just an outright bet for me, Wes. We've talked about him a lot since the beginning of the season. And by we, I mean, me and you. I don't think Matt Brown's brought him up a single time, which it means he's the most intelligent guy here. It's Daniel Berger. I'm going to go back to Berger. This is, you are finally starting to see, you know, you and I think we're trying to guess at the beginning of the season. Okay. When's he going to come back? We don't want to miss that moment when he kind of gets back to his old self and we can still get a longer number on him. I don't know if I'm not necessarily say that's where I'm at with him still, Wes, but I am what I'm starting to see is recently the stats continue to are improving. And from a lot of the things that we were, pulling from 2 years ago when we were looking at stuff earlier in the season, he's now played in enough tournaments this year that you're pulling all the stats from tournaments that he's played in within this year, and he's still kind of rating out in that top 15, top 20 range for me. So I took a shot on him this week in the outright market at 60. You're going to find him in the 60s. I got him 66-1. And then the one bomb, look, another one, you can find 100. I found 120 at Circa, but it's Patton Kizzire. You broke it down well. He really rated out very, very highly for me. I was a little surprised and taken aback. Him and Davis Thompson, I had to spend some time digging in on because I was surprised at how well I was liking them. But T16 here in 2022, T11 in 2021, so he's even played well at this course. Last 12 rounds, he's 19th in the field in good drives gained, 5th on approach, 2nd in opportunities gained, good with his wedges. You ran through the recent finishes, but T20 at the Rocket Mortgage, T10 at Myrtle, T24 at Byron Nelson, T23 at Punta Cana. Like, yes, some of those are, some of the side events, smaller fields, But that's fine. That's basically what this is this week. He's basically playing with the same talent level. So I'm with you in on the long bomb outright. Then I played a top 20 plus 350 on him as well. I was going to consider a top 40. You can bet him top 40 if you want it, like plus 110. But where he rated out for me, Wes, I'm just going swinging big with the plus 350 on the top 20. So that is everything I played. The only other thing that I added small was just Sung JM as top South Korean. Just always comical to me when you could shop around those markets and see wildly different prices. Most of the shops I was looking at, he was priced at like minus 165, 170. I bet him at minus 135 to be the top South Korean player. He doesn't have a whole lot of competition in the field this week, in my opinion, in that market. So bet him there. And that's my whole card. So again, outright Sung JM, Davis Thompson, Keith Mitchell, Daniel Berger, Patton Kizzire. Top 20s then on Davis Thompson and Patton Kizzire. Yes, those are the two guys that I like the most this week. And then Sung JM, top South Korean player. Wes, run through all of yours for the folks one more time.
Yeah, and the placement stuff will be up on Wednesday like usual. But in terms of the outrights, Denny McCarthy, 22. Davis Thompson, 25. Matt McNeely, 28. Nick Dunlap, 40. Seamus Power, 50. Patton Kizzire, 100. Chandler Phillips, 100.
Okay, I like it. All right, so yes, as Wes said, find all of our bets up at VSiN.com. Mine are up there already. Wes's are up there. The outrights are at least, but more to come tomorrow, possibly from him. If there's anything that I do end up doing with First Round Leader, I will throw up there as well. For Wes, I'm Kelly. Good luck with all the bets this week.